Welcome into the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm your host, Gray Robertson. James Janieri is here. Mike Jones is not. Do we know where Jones is?
Yes, he has to take pictures for a photo journalism class or something like that.
That sounds made up.
Sounds fake.
I don't think that's real. Sounds like fake news.
Well, yeah, we'll just go under the assumption that it's fake.
So, Mike Jones, we're on to you. It's a beautiful Wednesday. Can't complain about the weather today, James.
No.
It's beautiful.
Two thumbs up.
Sunny. All week it's been great, although apparently thunderstorms, hardcore thunderstorms, are coming in this weekend. Hopefully it will be sunny for A-Day. That's now about a week and a half away. Are you planning on going next Saturday?
100%.
100%?
Yeah. I went last year, and I actually stayed for the whole game, which is longer than I stay for, like, a regular season
really?
Game.
Really?
Yeah.
Where were you sitting? Were you in the student section, or did you just...
No, I was, like, honestly, I was, like, fifth row. I went with one of our radio friends, and, yeah, we sat, like, fifth row, 50-yard line. We had an awesome view, so I guess that's why we stayed. Looking back, I have no idea why we did, but we did.
Well, we're going to start our show tonight talking about a story that is really... taken off in the last couple hours regarding Bryant-Denny Stadium. Had you heard about this before I emailed you about it today?
I had, yeah.
Okay, this is a letter written in the Bryant-Denny Stadium survey. Greg Byrne and the Alabama Athletic Department sent out a survey to all the students, all the fans, at the right around this time, sent it out last week, saying, let us know if Bryant-Denny can improve in any ways, and we'll get to what we would change. But this letter, written by Junior Paul Roth, has gotten a lot of attention. It got retweeted by Josh Jacobs. Lane Kiffin gave it a thumbs up. So that's the goal.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all that you need for any recognition.
Here's what it says, and I'll read... I don't want to read all of it, because it's very long.
You want to read all of it? Yeah, read all of it.
Okay, I'll read all of it. Why not? Thanks, James. You are in charge. As a current in-state student who has also had season tickets through my family for the last 20 years, I believe that I speak on behalf of a large group of Alabama fans. I love Alabama football with all of my heart, but the atmosphere in the game has gotten soft, cute, and embarrassing. Music selection is terrible, the band gimmicks are humiliating, and it's become near insulting to be a lifelong Alabama fan with how we treat the atmosphere of these elite players. I understand that somehow people view this Roman gladiator-style battle of brute strength, agility, and toughness as a, quote, family event, but we need not forget what we are actually watching. Football. Hard-nosed, gritty, nasty football. And it deserves to be treated as such. Here are a few things I recommend, and hopefully similar adjustments will follow suit. Get rid of Mr. Brightside. I understand that this was some sort of replacement for Dixieland Delight, and it will not be coming back, but we have beat that horse to death, and students no longer enjoy it. The whole wavy arms thing with our fours up before the fourth quarter while playing Basket Case by Green Day needs to go. Years ago, when we simply held our fours up and blasted AC/DC, we had one of the most intimidating stadiums in the country. It was an incredible tradition that bewildered me as a child. Now we're waving our arms around like a bunch of loons. Unbelievably embarrassing from a, quote, football school. Overall, please increase the music quality. The emphasis needs not be on the family environment as it needs to be we are at a football game. Again, I didn't write this. There are a few grammatical errors.
Yeah, there's a lot. You changed some of the... I'm reading it while you're reading it out loud, and you're changing the right proper... making it proper.
It's the editor in here. We're almost done. I don't think a single fan or football player has ever gotten mentally ready for a kick cover by listening to Friends in Low Places. That one makes me laugh. I don't know why. What happened to the days of playing no flex zone after every incomplete pass? The fans and players thrived in that atmosphere, and the relationship was incredible. We need this back. Also for kickoffs, occasionally only play the purge siren. Nothing else needed. It's one of the coolest things we've ever done, and we have, in a sense, overstepped it. Please take these suggestions to heart when creating this next season's atmosphere. That's the letter sent in with the survey. We're going to talk about a lot of things.
There's a lot in
coming
there.
Out of this. I want your just cold cut thoughts, James, about that letter.
Well, I want to say that I'm not from Alabama. This is my second year here, so I've had two football seasons. So I can't go back and say what it's been like in the past 10 to 15 years. So that I can't really speak on. You probably can speak on that behalf, I would assume.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when I read this, I was, like, insulted. Like, as a fan, that this is how he thinks of us and how he thinks of, like, the Alabama fans. I mean, let's be honest. The regular Alabama student and Alabama fan leaves the game at halftime. And it's not because we don't love Alabama football. It's because we're winning by so much and that our third strings are in. And
there's a lot to do.
And there's, yeah, exactly. There's so many things to do. And when I read this, I was insulted. I mean, this guy, this person, the whole, like, so let me read a part of it that really bothered me.
Okay.
I understand, here we go, let me zoom this in. I understand that somehow people view this Roman gladiator style battle of brute strength, agility, and toughness as a family event. But we need not forget that we are actually watching football. I mean, but it is a family-friendly event. You have to count. You have to add the fact that children go to these games. What I don't understand what this guy wants us to do. Does he want everyone to yell "F you" to all of these players when they come on?
Uncensored Migos.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't understand what he wants. Like, there's children go to these games, and you know, like, when you were a kid and there was someone who was drunk behind you, like, you're screaming obscenities. And it's like,
I'm telling you, I'm the editor.
But it ruins, you know what I mean? Like, that ruins the atmosphere. Like, yes, I understand with, like, this, it's a bigger topic of, like, PC culture and things like that.
Yeah.
But you have to account for all of your fans. You can't just, you can't do whatever you want anymore. You know what I mean? Like, and the whole, like, and I don't know the whole fourth quarter thing. Like, we look like losers. I like that.
Here's my thing about it. I actually don't like holding your fours up at all. Because everybody does it. You know, I mean, my issue with Auburn last year when, you know, all these Auburn people were, you know, after the Iron Bowl, singing their version of Rammer Jammer, I thought, okay, that's cool. Get your own tradition. I've never been a big fan of the fours up because everybody does it. I like being unique. I think that's what makes Texas A&M so great. They literally do not have a tradition that any other school copies.
Yeah.
Partially because they can't. I actually agree with most of this because, like you said, I've been coming to these football games a long time. And there was I can't remember the year, but the music 5 or 6 years ago really got you going. It was a No Flex Zone year. They played Sea Murder songs, the instrumental part, because you can't play the words to that one. It was more hardcore. I remember you'd see, you know, Kareem Jackson come up, bat away a pass, No Flex Zone would play, and the entire stadium would light up. The music then was really good. To be honest, this year, I didn't really pay a lot of attention to the music because, A, I wasn't able to come to a lot of home games because I was with CBS a lot in the fall. Mm-hmm. But I was also with a lot of friends, and usually we'd be talking. I like the music at kickoff, and I personally do enjoy Mr. Brightside. Because I just love screaming it.
I do too.
But I mean, but that's just me. I do agree though. I wouldn't go far as saying soft, cute, and embarrassing. I do think that there is a reason, and we're going to get into this in a second, why Bryant Denny is no longer considered one of the tougher environments to play in. I mean, there was a time when Alabama, a couple years ago, when Alabama would lose one game in the season, and it would probably be a home game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for whatever that reason is, Bryant Denny just isn't that feared atmosphere anymore.
Is it that, or is it the fact that we don't have close games at home anymore?
I mean, that's a part of it.
I mean, let's go back to...
I think when that happens, you have fans, you know, they're going to get up for Auburn. They're going to get up for LSU. But say you're getting pushed at home by, you know, Mississippi State, or a couple years ago, A&M, they had the lead in the third quarter. And the fans are kind of sitting there against a team like that, even though A&M is ranked fourth in the country. Alabama was a big favorite. Fans are sitting there thinking, we're going to blow these people out. So they kind of have to, I guess, rev themselves up in game to make that place loud again. Mm-hmm. I mean, the year Johnny Manziel, I wasn't at the game, but my parents were. They said that the stadium was the loudest it's ever been after Alabama was losing in the fourth quarter. But leading up to that, not a lot going on in Bryant Denny because everybody thought Alabama's going to blow this team out. All of a sudden, A&M jumps out and everybody goes, whoa, we actually have to cheer. So I think it's this kind of inconsistent mentality for Alabama fans about when they need to be loud and when they need to just, I don't want to say rage, but that's the one word that comes to mind.
Well, also, I understand, the home atmosphere. I talk about it in all of my picks. I pretty much always pick the home team because I think home crowds and home courts matters in football, basketball. With all that being said, I really do think the exception to that is Alabama because we don't need it. Like, our team is so good that they don't really need the extra added noise levels from us, you know, like when we're screaming on third down, because they're going to stop them no matter what. Like, you look at this year. Look at the Tennessee game. Like, they could have won that game with nobody in the stadium.
Probably would have.
We definitely would have. And I think that's kind of the part where could we be doing a better job? Probably. Could we be staying longer? Yeah. But do we need to?
Don't say we. Now I will.
No, I left. I'll put my hand up. I left.
I do not leave.
I stayed for two games. I stayed for Tennessee, and I stayed for LSU. Because all the other games were complete blowouts. And like I said, I'm a huge Alabama fan, don't get me wrong. But I think I speak on a large behalf of Alabama fans that just, like, there's other things to do than watch your third string players. You know what I mean?
That's fair. And on game days, that's fair. Now, I do want to bring this into a larger conversation with the SEC. I don't think, it wasn't this letter, but there was a tweet from Hunter Johnson, Alabama superfan, who compared it to Tiger Stadium, compared it to, I think he said, Tennessee, and said our atmosphere is nowhere close. I wouldn't say Tennessee because those fans haven't had a lot to cheer about in the last couple of years. But in terms of ranking Bryant Denny Stadium in the SEC, I would say just right now, I haven't been to every stadium, but the ones that I've been in, probably middle of the pack. Not as good atmosphere-wise as A&M. Not as good atmosphere-wise as LSU. Now, keep in mind, I have been for Alabama games, so the crowd is electric there, obviously, because everybody wants to beat them. But just seeing it, I would say probably not middle of the pack of the SEC, but the ones I've seen, so probably fourth or fifth in the conference.
So which ones have you not seen?
I have not been to Kentucky, so we know.
But yeah, that doesn't
count.
They're
not involved.
Let me take a guess which ones you haven't been to. How many? Let's.
I've been to eight.
Okay, so that means you haven't been to six. So you haven't. Good math. You haven't been to Missouri.
True.
You have. Well, you said you haven't been to Kentucky. I feel like you've been to Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Okay, so you've been to Vanderbilt. You haven't been to Arkansas.
Correct. Be there this weekend. Go softball.
You haven't been to. Oh God. I don't know. I got three, so.
Florida.
You haven't been to Florida.
Been to Florida. I'm trying to think now. Have not been to South Carolina. Would really like to go. Mm-hmm. Because those are fans. Let me tell you. You want to talk about a fan base that has stuck by a team through thick and thin? South Carolina has not won anything ever. I mean, they won. They had two 10-win seasons under Spurrier, and that was historic for them.
Yeah.
Two 10-win seasons in a row. And those they're the most loyal fans maybe in college sports. Because they go, they sell out every time for, back in the 90s, 2-10 teams. In the 80s, 2-10 teams. I haven't been to South Carolina. There are probably more, but we're pushing a break. So before we kind of wrap this up, Bryant Denny's atmosphere, you know, you said you didn't agree with everything in the letter, but you also agreed that, you know, it is lacking a little bit. What changes? What has to change?
I mean, it's not really anything that the fans can do, to be honest. I really do think if the games are closer, the atmosphere is going to change. But I think if you're an Alabama fan, you want these games to be, like, blowout. You know what I mean? It's like a double-edged sword. Like, you want the atmosphere to be crazy. You want everyone to be going nuts. But that's going to happen in a last-second field goal. Do you want to have a game where it's a last-second field goal, either you win or lose? No, you want to have a blowout. And that's what's going to happen in cases of blowouts. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would probably try and change it up a little bit musically. A little bit.
So what's the kind of style? Like more rap and more like bass and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I also will say I do like Friends in Low Places because it's really just fun to sway. But I agree. You know, a lot of the music isn't always for us. Mm-hmm. The music is usually, I mean, it is for the players. They, you know, they want to hear something as they're getting ready to make a play, as they're getting ready to kick off. while they're standing on the bench, waving a towel. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, they need music to make them want to do that too. Friends in Low Places, probably not the choice. I do like the song, but in a football stadium going into the fourth quarter, probably not.
I agree.
We can maybe touch on that when we get back from break. We got a lot to talk about. Masters, Patrick Reed won, just like we predicted. Alabama went to the White House. Daniel Carlson made a fool of himself on Feinbaum. And plus, quick hits. I have questions ready. James has not read them. I'm going to ask him. He will just have to react. Can't think about it. Probably going to be fun. Maybe some dark secrets drop on the air. Who knows?
You never know.
You never know. This is the student section on 90.7 Capstone. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the student section. It's Wednesday. It's April 11th. It's sunny. It's beautiful. It's a good day.
I'll take it.
It's a good day. We were just talking about this letter that has surfaced on Twitter. Really has gained a lot of traction today, mainly. I just saw it today. Saying that Bryant-Denny Stadium has, quote, gotten soft, cute, and embarrassing atmosphere-wise. I disagreed with using those words, but I do think that there are some things that could change. You didn't agree with the point about making it not a family event, which I also, I agree with your point that, you know, you can't play the music just, you know, if you're playing it for the fans, you can't just pick it for the college students.
Yeah.
You gotta pick it for everybody.
I mean, there's a line that I think this person is kind of leaning towards the more of for the player side. Yeah. I guess I look at it more from the fans' perspective.
Yeah. And I agree that, you know, there is a lot here.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack.
I mean, we could talk about this for an hour.
Yeah.
We're not really going to, but
no, there's a lot that happened in the past week since last Wednesday, including which we, you know, we got off the air and found out that Colin Sexton was having his press conference to announce whether he was staying or going. Shocker here, he's going. So now we know it is pretty much everybody from last year's team except Colin Sexton. Does that change your expectations? It doesn't for me. I'm still expecting make the tournament, win a game or two.
See, well, we talked about last week. My expectations for this team is to barely just get out. So if we make the tournament success, if we don't, I kind of expect that. I guess ultimately that would be a failure. But my biggest thing, my biggest takeaway is we have to now see who's going to be the guy on this team. Is it going to be Dazon? Is it going to be Braxton? Or is it going to be John Petty?
Are you asking me to count on John Petty?
But, like,
something?
That's what I mean. But John Petty could, like, he got hot, though.
That's the problem with John Petty. He could. He probably should. So why isn't he?
Well, Collins. Well, now it's his chance.
No, that doesn't change the fact that John Petty couldn't make a three on the road this year.
Well, I think we're talking about two different things. I think we're talking about a guy who needs to. I'm talking about the guy who's going to be the person on this Alabama team who's taking the shot at the
and
last
I'm
second.
Saying, hypothetically, in my head, I see no reason for it not to be John Petty.
I agree.
I just don't think it will be because I'm not sure whatever happened all regular season, he's over yet.
Oh, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be him, but it could be him. If he gets hot and he takes this leadership role seriously, I think he could be the guy.
Yeah.
But like I said, do I think it's going to be him? No.
I also think Dante Hall could be a double-double averager next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's that good, and he improved so much this year. So we'll miss Colin Sexton,
well,
obviously.
We didn't talk about this, but what do you think this changes the pace of play that we're going to go to? Because I think it totally does.
In what way?
I think instead of playing a little bit faster, I think this is going to slow down our pace a little bit. And I hope it does. I hope we try to get the ball into the paint a little bit more. Now that Colin's gone to shoot threes and kind of drive, I want to maybe slow the ball down and try and force it down low.
All right, here's my point about that. I thought Alabama at its best last year was when they were dominating the transition game.
Mm-hmm.
Like we saw it against Tennessee, against Virginia Tech when they got up and down the floor, looked really good. But they were also at their worst in those situations because Alabama, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I feel like every game they were turning it over 15 times.
Yeah.
Partially because they were out of control in transition. So would I like to see it slowed down? I don't think so. But the turnovers have to clean up a little bit. And part of that is on Colin, because he was so gifted and so good. A lot of the things that he'd be doing were, like, his body would be moving almost ahead of his mind. Mm-hmm. And he would make passes to people that they weren't ready for.
Yeah.
Because he could see it happening, but other players couldn't.
See, I totally agree with you. That's kind of my point, is I don't think that there's a guy on this team who can do that. So that's why I'd like to see the pace of play get slowed down a little bit. Last year, I think if we can – well, last year my number in my head that we needed to score was 70. If we could score above 70 points, I think we had a win. I do think if we slow the pace down, it puts a stronger emphasis on defense. So I would like to see our number, if I'm the coach, and this is how I'm saying it, my new number right now is around 65, which, like I said, puts a stronger emphasis on our defense, which with Herb Jones, I mean, Herb Jones is a guy that could actually step into that role.
Well, he was always kind of the unsung hero last year. Led the team in charges. I'm not sure where he was in SEC ranks, but he had to be up there.
Well, school record.
Yeah. So he's remarkable. The team's going to be good next year. I'm pretty confident about that. We will miss Colin, though.
100%. Yeah, I mean, it was weird. We talked about it for the past couple weeks leading up. All these guys were declaring, and it was just one day we were just waiting. Like, the next day after the next day, it was just like a little bit more hope. But then once we saw the press conference, it was over.
Now, before we get to the Masters, because I know you want to talk about Patrick Reed, have to point out, Auburn, all of a sudden, has become a sinking ship. Did you see this? Mustafa Heron, I don't have it on the rundown, so don't look there.
Yeah, I was about to say.
This just more or less has happened in the last couple hours and couple days. Austin Wiley has declared for the NBA draft. Mustafa Heron is going to the draft. They've both hired agents. Bryce Brown, one of the leading scorers last year, he's going to the NBA. He has not hired an agent yet. They've got DeShaun Murray leaving the program either to go pro or as a graduate transfer somewhere else. I mean, this was a team that we talked about last week. People had them in the top five in their way too early top 25 for next year. And all of a sudden, they are losing superstars left and right. And this tells me two things. A, they want to get out of Auburn for a reason. And part of me thinks that's tied into the FBI investigation.
Yeah.
Which is very cynical of me. But that's the way my mind goes. Or B, I can't even come up with another reason. They think maybe Bruce is talking them up to the point where they just want to go. And Austin Wiley's good enough. Mustafa Heron kind of surprised me to see him hire an agent. Bryce Brown, I would be kind of shocked if he went pro. But either way, a lot of big-time names just suddenly pulling out of Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think there's really two options for this. I think it's pretty much all about the FBI investigation. Could this be, this will tie into the, we'll push the Masters back, but could this potentially be a little Shea Patterson at Michigan situation with blocking transfers, maybe?
And then just saying, we want out? Mm-hmm. Maybe they wanted out before, and who knows? Is that how you want to do
it? That's exactly how I want to do it. Yeah.
Very nice.
Because I don't know a ton about this, so I don't
throw the outline out.
Oh, yeah.
That is the other big story. Not really a big story, because in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything. Ole Miss is just saying, we don't like this. But Shea Patterson trying to go play at Michigan next year, seeking a waiver to transfer and play immediately. And Ole Miss is, quote, objecting to this. Doesn't change with the NCAA rule.
Yeah.
So they can, if Ole Miss had said, yes, go for it, you have our blessing, NCAA could still say you can't play next year.
And that rule being the fact that once you transfer from a Division I school to pretty much anywhere, I believe, you have to sit out a year. And what Shea Patterson is doing is he's ultimately saying, due to the fact that this recruiting violation and all this kind of stuff, so that's the reason that I should get this special treatment. Is that correct?
More or less. I mean, it's very nuanced, but the reason I like it being in the news is it gives us a chance to talk about my least favorite college football coach in America, Jim Harbaugh, and how I wrote in the Hangover for Student Union Sports that this upcoming season, he's out of excuses. You know, he has underachieved at Michigan, but he's always been able to more or less lean on the excuse of not having a quarterback. If Shea Patterson can play this year, that excuse is gone. If he doesn't play, a Michigan team with a really tough schedule that has everybody back is going to be more or less in the same situation they've been in the last 4 years.
So if you're John John Harbaugh, you've got to want had to have that extra year of leeway, right?
I mean, maybe you could use that to negotiate if you go 7-5 this year.
Yeah, that's just how I think. I would think that he would kind of want, because I mean, everyone knows he's. I don't want to say he's on the hot seat, but he kind of is.
I think he is.
He is, but it's weird to say. And also,
I would say it is a slow burn.
Yeah.
That it is, that you have just turned on, you know, you've just turned on the oven, you've preheated it to 425, but it's kind of
more slowly
just
getting
climbing.
There.
Yeah. I would say that's the situation Jim Harbaugh is in, because he can't afford another 8-4 tied for fourth year in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
can't get away with that.
Yeah, let me pull up their schedule right now. Okay, so they open up with Notre Dame.
I mean, that's a toss-up. Where is it?
I'm looking that up. I have a feeling it's at a neutral site. No, it's not. They're doing a home-and-home. So
at
Notre
Dame.
I'm safe to say at Notre Dame. Okay, so.
And that's honestly if Shea Patterson is able to play or not. And he is playing in the spring game this weekend, I will point out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but let's look at their. They have two cupcakes next. They have got Western Michigan and SMU. Then they've got Nebraska with
Scott Frost.
I'll give Michigan the fact that they are at home, but I feel like Nebraska's just a better team, and they're on the up.
I would give them that win. I don't know. I would give Michigan.
Okay, so let's say Michigan's 3-1 right now. They've got Northwestern, a tough Northwestern team.
Where is that game?
That game's at Northwestern.
Ooh, that'll be a noon kick. I can already tell you now, that is a noon kick. That's tough. It's hard to win at Northwestern.
Oh, and it's going to be like 34 and raining. Like, that's like every Northwestern game ever.
That would be, I'll give it a toss-up. So 3-1 with one toss-up.
They got at Maryland.
Win.
That's a win. And then they host Wisconsin.
I would take Wisconsin. I would lean Wisconsin. Gut. Now, remember, we're making these picks months in advance.
We're making them in April.
Yeah,
when the games are in.
Gut, I would take Wisconsin right this second.
I agree. Then they go to Michigan State. That's a rivalry game. You can take
at Michigan State.
At Michigan State.
Absolutely taking Michigan State. Right now, I haven't made my picks yet, but right now I'm leading Michigan State to be the Big Ten representative in the College Football Playoff this year.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, I like Brian Lewerke. I like that defense. Mark D'Antonio is one of the best coaches in college football. Probably be in my top five, maybe sixth at worst. That's a Michigan State win all day.
Okay, then they have Penn State. They host Penn State.
Toss up.
I'm going Michigan. I think Penn State's going to have a real down year. I love Trace McSorley.
They still have McSorley.
But
I'm
I don't
not
know.
Sure.
Then they go to Rutgers. Easy win. Then they host Indy.
Come on. I'm just kidding.
I was going to The look Come on. I just gave
no
you
No respect to the Scarlet Knights.
Absolutely not.
Not this year.
Then Indiana, and then the last game of the year is they go to Ohio State. Their schedule is actually, looking at it, it's really not that bad.
See, I look at that, and I hear 8-4.
See, I see 9-3.
So we, because Michigan, I think, is going to have one of those Jim Harbaugh games where they just lose once to somebody they shouldn't.
Oh, I can
like an Iowa, like a Northwestern this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just going back to the whole Shea Patterson thing. If you think that he should or should not get this waiver, what are your thoughts on that? Because I know what
I think he should, because I think you should be able to freely transfer after a scandal like this breaks, and I'm not sure why you wouldn't be allowed to. So I would say yes, give him the waiver, let him play this year. I honestly don't think it changes Michigan that much. Maybe from 8-4 to 9-3, in my eyes. You, before we go to break?
I don't think that he should be able to get the waiver. I really don't.
Why?
It's the rule. It's the rule. You have to sit out a year. Yeah, he was misled by. Well, the thing that he's citing is that he was misled about the FBI investigation. I mean, I don't understand what that means. What do you expect that Hugh Freeze to say? Oh, everything's. Yeah, we're gonna get. We're going to get the book thrown at us. Like, you should still come here, though. Like, what do you expect him to do? Like, logic says he's obviously not going to tell the truth. I mean, when you recruit, are you 100% telling the truth always? No. I would say you're
we're not
lying.
Telling the truth.
You're lying 99.9% of the time.
Half of sports is about lying or expanding on.
More than half. I would say probably like 75% of sports are.
I mean, you know.
I mean, it's recruiting. Everyone says they're going to win a national championship. Everyone says they're going to win a conference championship.
You can come here 13 and start the tradition that beats Alabama.
13 of the 14 teams that told you that in a conference are lying, technically. So, you know what I mean, though? I really do think
you're not wrong.
I think it's BS. So I don't think that he should get it. And it's, and like we talked about, I think that's beneficial to Harbaugh's future at Michigan.
AKA, this season is very important.
100%
Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Boy. That'll be an interesting story to keep track of when we come back. Patrick Reed, a lot to unpack about him. Very interesting Masters winner. Alabama was at the White House yesterday. And quick hits. That'll be in the last segment. But I'm, you know, still prepping for it because I'm pretty excited. This is the student section, 90.7 The Capstone. We'll be right back. Hey, America. My music choices today, I feel like we're at a club in Miami.
One of my favorite things to do is during the break, we just rate the music because we have no idea like what the actual songs are.
We have not heard half of these.
All right, so out of 10.
4.
I was thinking.
I think it's a generous 4.
Yeah, I think that's a little tough. I'm going to give it a 5.
Well, I'm the Simon Cowell of break music.
I'm the, what was it,
Paula?
Have you seen the new American Idol?
I have not.
I only saw the clips about Katy Perry kissing the guy.
See, I don't know how I would feel about Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, Luke Bryan. That's a weird trio,
it's
right?
The, I don't think you could pick 3 more different people. Like, the... I mean, apparently it works, though. I think the ratings are somewhat decent.
The ratings
decent.
Are okay. They're, I mean, they're not what they were, but they, no show will ever get back to those ratings. This is the student section. Gray Robertson, James Ranieri, no Mike Jones. He is MIA today. Not actually. We know where he is, but school and whatnot.
Yeah, it depends how you look at it. Quote, unquote, school. Make your own. It's one of those choose-your-own-adventure things.
Now, James, this past weekend was the Masters. I know you did not leave your couch Saturday and Sunday. Is that correct?
I have a correction. I did not leave my couch Thursday, Friday,
sorry.
Saturday.
You didn't even,
Sunday.
Did you skip class?
Wednesday. No, I have all my classes are early. And I don't have class on Fridays.
Okay, well, Patrick Reed won the Masters. Congratulations to him. A very interesting figure. Twitter seemed very divided about Patrick Reed. A lot of people were rooting for him because of his Captain America persona. A lot of people wanted him to fail, A, so Ricky could come up and win. And B, because there's just a lot about him that's very unlikable for some reason. What side were you on?
See, like you said, I'm a huge golf fan. So I feel like a lot of people... did you know about Patrick Reed's history?
Yes. Well, I didn't know about his history. I knew about him since he became a professional. I didn't know about being estranged from his family. Apparently getting kicked off of Georgia and Augusta State. I didn't know about all of that.
See,
I knew about his career as a professional.
Yeah, so I knew about that. So that's right. Why I was always, I've been anti. But I mean, it's one of those things where he's like, I made this comparison when I was thinking about it. He's like the Ian Poulter of America. You see what I mean? Like in the Ryder.
You hate Ian Poulter.
And I hate Ian Poulter. But he's one of those guys where it's so weird because in the Ryder Cup, it's USA, USA, USA. No matter what, you could have the worst person in the entire world and you'll root for them because it's the Ryder Cup. But when you take him out of the Ryder Cup environment, I just have a negative stance with him. I mean, so so the family thing, it's kind of a back and forth. He said, she said. Him and his wife say that his parents like beat him and things like that, so he's estranged from them. They say that the wife kind of just isolated him and took him away, and she wanted all the attention, things like that. So the family thing, it's a he said, she said. That's, I mean, pick a side. It's one of those things.
And we can't judge.
You can't, yeah, you can't judge, and you can't really prove one. You can't really prove it either way. But the Georgia's thing and the Augusta State thing are pretty provable because you have like 10 people against one.
And apparently all of his college teammates hated him.
All of his teammates hated him. So first he was at Georgia. He was cited for being kicked off because of alcohol reasons. He had a fake ID and he got caught with like minor in possession, things like that. That's the reason he got kicked off. I'm putting my hands in quotes right now. The real reason he got kicked off is because he allegedly stole from his teammates. He stole a lot of cash from them, and I think he stole like a watch. And he's like wearing the watch and has like all this cash. And his teammates confront him about it and say, "Hey, like, where'd you get all this cash? It's really convenient that you have all of this cash when we lost some cash in the locker room." It's like, "Oh yeah, I played a skins game against a professor, The guys, they're like, okay, probably not. So let's ask this professor. They ask the professor, and the professor's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, I don't really even play golf. So he got kicked off the team for, like I said, quote unquote, having alcohol or alcohol-related reasons. So then he transfers to Augusta State, which is now Augusta University, that they said every 10 minutes right. on the...
Every time.
Yeah, on the CBS coverage. So he wins two national championships. This is the CBS storyline that they kept pushing. Patrick Reed is at Augusta, went to Augusta State, wins two national championships. So, happy storyline. Not really a happy storyline. So, he goes to Augusta State, and he wins one national championship. So, in between... So, he wins one national championship. In between those years, when he wins the second one, the team has a vote to see if they're going to kick this guy off the team. I mean, you're at Augusta State. You win a Division I title, and this is the guy who did it. And you're going to vote to kick him off when he was already won you a national championship, when he's been unbelievable in match play, and you're going to even have, and you're going to even consider kicking him off the team? There's got to be a reason for that. But they didn't end up kicking him off the team. He got the second national championship for the team. But, like, the teammates, he didn't really have a lot of friends in the teammates. And just so that's his college career. Now you go to the professional tour, or... In an era where all of these guys are friends.
And he and Ricky did have a good exchange.
They did, but I don't know. I mean, I watch golf all the time, and from what I gathered from that is Ricky, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm happy for Patrick Reed. Like, yeah, it's cool that he won. Like, let's be honest. Patrick Reed and Ricky were not celebrating the Masters together.
Of course not.
But when Jordan Spieth won the Open last year, he was celebrating with Ricky. He was celebrating with Justin Thomas. He was celebrating with those guys because they're friends.
And you're talking about two completely different...
Well, no, this is what I'm getting at. Well, okay.
Go ahead.
With Patrick Reed, he doesn't have any friends on tour. And in an era where all of these guys are friends, the past four major championship winners are under 27 years old and are all friendly. And in an era where when the final group is coming... You have your buddies on the 18th green rooting for you, giving you high fives and doing that. He didn't have anybody there. And I think that says a lot about his character. And, you know, they say, like Daniel Berger was quoted, yeah, he's one of those guys who just kind of does his thing. It's more of a job for him. It's not really fun. But it just kind of rubs me the wrong way in this era of golf where everyone's friendly. They have all these – everyone's buddies. It's a fun game. It's a cool time to watch golf in this kind of era. And then Patrick Reed – in this with a troubled past to win the Masters, the most gentlemanly of all championships,
the biggest honor in golf.
He is right now, he was on the Tonight Show last night, he's representing golf, and with that background, that's why it rubs me the wrong way, and it will for a while, to be honest.
Okay, I understand. And yeah, that was, are you okay?
I'm good.
Cool towel to...
But it's one, like, I love golf, and
I agree, and I don't love it as much as you do. Because you're passionate about it. I love it because I keep track of it for other reasons. Stuff with my dad, you know, a different thing that we'll get into another time because we're pushing it in this segment. But, I mean, these are – golf is so interesting because there are just little things, little storylines every time. Even if, you know, it's not Tiger and Jordan Spieth 1 and 2 on the leaderboard, there's always something about whoever's there that makes it interesting. And this, you know, I wouldn't say I was rooting for him. I wouldn't say I was rooting against him. But I was interested and very compelled. A lot of people said, oh, this isn't exciting. Who's Patrick Reed? I found it really interesting to learn more about him than I already knew just from his professional career as he was going down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, it's one of those, like, it really does bother me. And just because, like, I love golf. And I don't want him representing golf. But I do want to... Since we'll go a little bit off topic right now, a little lighter note. Do you think I was shocked? I was having a conversation with Jones about this. Mike Jones, our other co-host, who's not here.
Where are you, Mike?
Do you think that Rory McIlroy is overrated?
No.
Why?
Because he's won. I mean, he's won. He's what, won four majors?
He's won four majors. He's one away from a Grand Slam.
Yeah. No. Did Jones say he was overrated?
Jones did say he was overrated.
Jones, why are you not here to defend your point?
No, I'm happy he's not because we're just going to keep dumping on.
Something ridiculous.
I mean, he's won major away. It's one Masters away from the career Grand Slam.
He was in the final group of the Masters this year, but he's overrated. Are you kidding? Wait, last 4 years, what is it? 10th, 7th, 5th, and 7th in the Masters?
It's yeah, he's always been in the top 10.
He sucks, clearly.
I mean, it's one thing to say that he played bad, but it's another thing to say that he's overrated. He's one, like I said, he's one major away from the career Grand Slam. You know who didn't have? You know who doesn't have a career Grand Slam? One of the best golfers of all time, Arnold frickin' Palmer, doesn't even have a Grand Slam.
If you're going with that mentality, he had one bad day, therefore he's overrated. You sound like all of the people who called Alabama overrated this year for losing to Auburn.
Yeah.
One bad game, overrated. They must be awful. They're terrible. They couldn't do it every time. Come on. Come on, Jones. Come to the studio and defend yourself. Before we go to break, Alabama at the White House yesterday, I watched the ceremony. Did you see it?
I did. I watched it before we went on the show, like in its entirety.
Yeah, it was. It's cool. It's cool to see Saban behind the presidential podium giving his speech, where he hopefully will be one day. I would totally vote for Nick Saban.
Well, just going back to Trump's speech, I know Trump kept saying he. My favorite thing about Trump is when he reads a speech, he's reading it for the first time, like you, and you know he's reading it for the first time because he reads something, he's like, and then he has a thought that pops into his head, and he just like, and he just says it out loud. So do you think that, I know he said that, like I just said, he said that he went to the game and he was there and he made that clear. Do you think that he was paying attention at all? Because
he left early.
It did
Everybody
not.
Everybody knows that he left early. If he hadn't left early, we wouldn't have been able to get out of that stadium as fast as we did. No way.
Yeah, I know from firsthand experience because when he flies into Florida, he flies into my airport and I see his plane all the time and there's like so much extra security. But yeah, he was not paying attention to that game.
From what I had heard, he left at halftime.
I believe that.
Now I will say my favorite part about this. This exchange, I wish we had the audio. One day we will have the audio. But this exchange, President Donald Trump to Nick Saban, was it 5 or 6 national championships? I thought it was 6. Saban responds, 5 here and 1 at LSU. Trump says, they shouldn't have let you go, coach. They're thinking about that. Donald Trump, probably not the biggest SEC football fan, but he still found a way to throw shade at LSU. Made me chuckle.
My favorite thing, just very quickly, was when he was trying to pronounce Rashawn Evans' name, and he mispronounced it, and you see Rashawn Evans in the background just, like, shaking his head, smiling. Sean. He's like, Rayshon.
Rayshon and Dayron Payne.
And you see Rashawn Evans in the background just being, like, just shaking his head. He's like, what are you going to do? That was my favorite little tidbit.
But from what I heard, it was a pretty successful experience. Everybody loved being up there. It looked great. It was good to see the team recognized. I'd never actually watched one of those ceremonies before. Thought it was cool. I also found it interesting, again, I don't know if this is actually true, because I haven't seen it confirmed or denied, but apparently Nick Saban had never been in the Oval Office.
Yeah, they said that. And of course, Trump was like, oh, like...
No one else let you in.
See, I let you in. Look at me. I'm better than everybody.
Yeah, and I was talking to Greg Byrne's wife, and she said that they were also in there, and she said it was just so surreal. I can't imagine standing in the Oval Office even for 2 minutes, the history in that building.
I just love watching him read speeches. That's a different story, though.
When we come back, we'll get into a new story. James's thoughts, how his mind works. Listeners, you'll be able to find out about that. Coming up on the other side, student section, 90.7 The Capstone.
Go to me.
James, instant music reaction.
So is this the music that we're supposed to play at Bryant Denny now? Are these the kind of songs that we're supposed to play, just like these heavy bass songs? That was horrible. That was a bad...
That was funny.
That was bad.
I was not expecting that.
2 out of 10.
I give it a 3.
No, 2.
Are you Simon now?
Yeah, we switched.
How did I miss that last week? Boy, we're playing that every show now. Quick update on softball and baseball. Baseball, I'm telling you what, they're getting it together a little bit. 2 straight conference series wins over ranked opponents. Week after beating Kentucky at home, they went on the road, got 2 out of 3 against Missouri, beat UAB last night 12-3, go to College Station, a top 25 team yet again because everybody in this league is ranked, and play Texas A&M. Right now, they're not really in the picture for the NCAA tournament, but if they can continue this streak, they're not.
That's shocking to me. I mean, I don't really follow Alabama softball. I know you call their games.
This is baseball.
Oh, this is baseball. Okay. Well, oh, that's not surprising to me.
This is baseball.
I just heard now, Alabama softball.
If they can win a couple more series in conference play, maybe sneak in. Maybe.
Yeah, 21-13, 5-7 in conference. 1-2 in a row.
Here, I mean, the good news is when you're in the SEC, every game will be an opportunity to improve your RPI, improve your standing in the eyes of the committee. And oh, by the way, not this weekend, but next weekend, Auburn comes to town. That's also A-Day weekend. So, and that's when softball is playing Tennessee. A lot happening in 2 weeks on campus. Softball lost 2 out of 3 to Florida this weekend, and I was there for all three games. Games 1 and 3. Not saying it would have changed the result. Those are the ones Alabama lost 6-1 on Saturday and 3-2 on Monday. But Tom and I went on a rant. The umpiring in this league, and especially in that series, has decreased at a remarkable pace.
How so?
It was awful.
How so?
Just look, we always say we don't ask for perfection. We just ask for consistency, which means the same calls for both teams. That's what we want to see. We don't want to rag on the umpires. And the home plate umpires, I don't want to say their names because I don't want to be in a situation like the Kentucky basketball referee a couple years ago that got mulched, or is it, you know, everything blew up in his face because Kentucky fans went after him. But the home plate umpires on Saturday and Monday were not consistent with their strike zones. There were balls that were obviously strikes that were not. They blew calls consistently that Tom and I knew the rules for that apparently these gentlemen did not. It was frankly embarrassing. And again, I'm not saying it would have changed the outcome, but best series of the year between two of the best programs in SEC history probably deserves the best you've got. That's my spiel.
Yeah, I can't really add much to this considering I didn't watch it.
You should come. I have a passport.
I should come to the games.
Yeah, I'll give you a
when's pass. The next home game?
Tennessee.
When's that?
That is A-Day weekend. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Pick a game.
We'll discuss.
This weekend, we head up to Fayetteville. I'm hopping on a plane about this time tomorrow night. In fact, I need to check into my flight once we're off the show. So thank you for reminding me. Segment number 4. Arkansas, 3-game series this weekend. Big one up in Fayetteville. Could help the RPI. Now it is time.
Well, before we do that, I do have some quick questions about what are you going to do in Fayetteville, Arkansas?
Oh, I don't know. The booming metropolis that it is. Apparently, there's a good Red Robin. I don't know. I was talking to Coach Murphy, and he said that there's a good steakhouse, a really good, apparently, gourmet grilled cheese place.
What's it called?
I can't remember.
I don't think those two terms really go with each other, gourmet and grilled cheese.
I don't know. But we're going to test out some music here, some segment music. It is time for the first edition of Quick Hits.
I don't like this one.
You don't like that one?
I
don't like it. You don't like that one?
No, I don't like that one.
I tried. That one's called Hair Flip Hodgepodge. I probably should have known that was bad.
You know what the worst part is? I was the one who decided what goes into the system or not. I sat down
can
and
we
like,
fire you?
I think you might. Works? Yeah, that one was bad.
We'll try it again next week.
It's funny because I literally remember putting that exact song in it, though.
Maybe that'll be one of the questions. Here's how Quick Hits works. There are questions you cannot think about before answering. You just react. So close your eyes, do whatever you need to do. I'll give you a couple seconds to answer each one, and then we can discuss if I just find one completely egregious. A couple are sports related, a couple are not. Question number 1. Who is the good surprise team in the SEC West next year?
What sport?
This is football.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Sorry.
Well, LSU. I like Coach O.
Really?
Yeah, I like Coach O.
Why? Just because Coach O. Good surprise.
I really do think it's going to be LSU. I do think that they're on the rise. I know Coach Go's gimmicks are disputed, but I like Coach O. I think he's a good recruiter. I think they're a good team this year. All
right. Good surprise team, the SEC East next year.
I mean, is it really going to be a surprise? Is Florida really a surprise if they do well?
Maybe. If they come in second in the division, that could be.
I'm going to pick. I think that there's a chance that they might take it.
No, gosh.
I think it's possible. I don't think it's likely. I do think it's possible, though.
These are quick hits, not stupid hits. Come on. Come on, James. Disappointment in the SEC West.
Disappointment in the SEC West. I don't know. I'm going to go with Auburn.
I think so, too.
I think Auburn's just a gut feeling.
I think so, too. And that's not just coming from an Alabama guy. Their schedule's tough. I mean, they got to go to Alabama, go to Georgia, Washington in game one, a Washington team that is very good.
Talk about an overrated team, by the way.
But I think Washington beats Auburn.
I don't think they beat it. I think Washington, the fact that people are putting Washington as like this top program in the country is a little ridiculous, in my opinion.
We can get into that once football season comes around. Right now, I would put Auburn about 9-3, 8-4. Disappointment in the SEC East.
Georgia. I think their expectations are too high.
Okay. How many teams make the NCAA tournament next year? This is basketball.
Six.
So down,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Who does anyone sneak in that didn't make it last year? Or is it six of the eight that made it this year?
Who are the teams? I think I'm going to go Vanderbilt.
That's fair. I mean, hey, top 10 recruiting class.
Yeah.
LSU will be right there, too. And Mississippi State.
Mississippi State, but I know that they made it. They make it.
They made it to the NIT.
Oh, okay. Then two. I don't think Alabama makes it, like we talked about. And I think Auburn, with all of these players going, I think that they are going to have a down year. I wouldn't be shocked if they get out, if they don't make the tournament.
All right. Best sports movie.
Kicking and Screaming. That's like my favorite movie.
Really?
Yeah, I really do love that movie.
I almost don't classify that as a sports movie,
though. It's probably not, but...
All right. Where do you have Remember the Titans in your rankings?
Lower than most people.
Ooh. We're gonna have a conversation. We have a lot to talk about off the air, bud.
Okay.
I also have Miracle up there for me. You ever seen that?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Okay, good. It's a good thing Jones isn't here.
Let's say, gosh.
It's a good thing Jones is not here to talk about American. Miracle.
That's true. We don't have time for that. All right, so Nick Saban up at the White House. If Nick Saban ran for president, would he win?
No.
See, I think he would have a chance. Because I think if he really wanted it, he could convince a part of the country to vote for him.
I mean, this is a deeper conversation, but it would depend on what he ran as.
That's true. But I think he's got the ability to... I mean, he'd win Alabama.
I mean, he almost did in the
Senate. He almost won the South.
He almost won the Senate. he almost became the senator this year.
All right, if you could play for any coach in any sport, one coach, dead or alive, any sport, who would it be?
Bob Knight.
You want to get a chair thrown at you?
Yeah, just to say that I got a chair thrown at me. Definitely Bob Knight.
Such weird answers.
All right, so what's yours?
This is... Oh,
go. Come on. Three.
Yeah, Bryant. But I know that's a cop-out. I mean, if I had to think deeper about it, John Wooden, maybe? I'd love to play for a great champ. And I know I couldn't technically play on one of her teams, but I would have loved to have seen Pat Summitt coaching in her heyday and have been able to go to practice and watch her interact with the team back when she was just the most ridiculous BA coach ever. I mean, I would have loved to have seen that. If you could win any championship in any sport, which would you want?
The Masters, but that's just me. That's probably a little bit of recency bias, though.
Would there be a second choice?
Ryder Cup, maybe.
So, golf.
Golf, yeah. But outside, like, the four major sports, is college included?
Yeah. Any championship.
Stanley Cup. I think one skating
big
around.
Big trophy.
Yeah, skating
big
around.
Big trophy. I would win Wimbledon.
I was thinking Wimbledon.
Wimbledon would be a good choice.
Wimbledon's not a bad choice.
Yeah, that's coming up in a few months. So much happening.
This is fun. I like this. Keep going.
You like this?
Yeah, this is fun.
Next SEC football coach to get fired.
Oh, God. Matt Luke. I think he stinks.
I think he's your guy. I think it's Edo.
No.
Because I think LSU goes 7-5 this year, and if that happens, goodbye. You cannot get by with just a 7-5 record in Baton Rouge and expect to win. Or expect to stay.
I mean, that's like a shot at me, but... We'll discuss this after the air. We might have to throw some hands.
Oh, God. Basically, what this show has taught me is we hate each other, and we're going to fight afterwards.
100%.
So come by the Office of Student Media. We'll be charging $5 a head. Last scary movie you saw in theaters?
I don't watch scary movies. They scare me.
Well,
I really don't.
Have you seen one in theaters lately?
I saw The Purge, maybe. But that was that like
that
7 years
like
ago?
2011.
Yeah.
I saw A Quiet Place this week. Really good.
Oh, I think we talked about it last week.
Yeah, really good.
I think you did change my opinion. Isn't it a silent movie? Like no, there's
not
talking.
We'll talk about it off air because we have a couple more to plot. Well, we have one more to plot through. Best sports atmosphere you've ever encountered?
Cameron Stadium, whatever.
Indoor.
Yeah. Because it's Coach K Court and Cameron Indoor. I always get confused with that.
Cameron Court.
That was awesome. I got vertigo when I was
really?
There. Yeah, it was nuts. It was like, it was so loud. We were right near the wall, and all the noise was backing against my ears and stuff. Oh, I thought I did go to the World Series. That was pretty cool. But probably.
Just rub it in, kid.
Oh, look.
I'm kidding. Stop. All right. That comeback might have been worst of the week. But no, we have one more worst of the week. And I'm giving it this week to Paterno on HBO. Did you watch?
I didn't, but I heard reviews, and it's like apparently just not true, like some of the things that happened.
It was a really big disappointment. Al Pacino was great as Joe Pa. Couldn't even recognize him, but plot, a lot of the facts in it, just the way it was done, the whole thing, it started out with Joe Pa getting an MRI, and then pretty much the entire movie is a flashback from that moment. It was just weird.
And yeah.
It was weird, and it dragged on, and I just didn't like it.
So what was the thing about the statue? Apparently, they said that the statue was taken down by the students. Is that?
That was never shown in the movie.
Okay.
They never got to the statue taken down.
Okay. Because from what I remember, I listened to a radio show, and they were saying that the students took down the statue, and that's just not accurate.
No. I mean, it was – I didn't like it. You'll have to see it and tell me next week what you think.
Well, I know you were saying that – you wanted them to make seem like they didn't want you to pick a side. Did they do that?
Yes, more or less. They dropped subtle hints to Joe Pa's guilt that I picked up because I don't want to brag, but like that's what I do with movies. I like watch it critically.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Well, they had like the reporter who has been on it the whole time, and they said that she like sent a voicemail or some sort of phone call at the end, like the last scene is some sort of phone call or something. And that's how, like, they end it with, like, this presumed guilt.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting, but bad.
Oh.
I didn't like it.
Nah, never mind. We're not going to get into that. I was going to say,
we don't have time, James.
Well, quickly, do you think he did it? Do you think he knew? Because yes. I think he 100% knew.
Yes, I think he knew.
On that fun note.
That's such a sad way to end. Dang it. Mike Jones really missed a heck of a show tonight.
It was a good show.
I agree. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for sitting in with us, folks, around the Tuscaloosa area or around the country if you're listening online. For not Mike Jones, my partner, James Ranieri, I'm Gray Robertson. Have a great Wednesday. Have a great weekend. We will see you next week, 6 p.m. Central Time sharp, for a full hour of the student section. Have a great night, and roll tide.